hello there from the Little Ant Out Studio on Southwood Drive in Ruston, Texas. Welcome to the Barn Handyman Show, number 165. This is July 25th, 2006. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Tom Houston, what's going on?
Oh, man, rainy weather.
Yeah, it is.
Certainly nice to have you with us, Donald.
Good to be here.
Don Patterson.
Hi, Thomas. I've never seen you looking so good.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank
really
you. I am wearing my Blind Handyman T-shirt today.
I have my shirt on that says, Playa de Carmen.
What does that mean?
That's a tourist resort in Mexico where the kids went, and they always bring me back a T-shirt.
Well, you must be a long way off your mic.
Yeah, sure, I'm sitting right up here.
It doesn't sound like he's right there.
Right on top of it.
Okay. It needs to come up a little bit.
Tell that board engineer that.
bring your mic up a little bit, huh?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How's that, Thomas?
Anyway, my name is Tom Houston, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen. This is the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it, huh?
It really is.
What a deal.
Let's see, what is the deal with Pat's mic? Is it everything?
It sounds like it's not even turned on.
Everything looks good on his...
5, 6, 7, 8.
It is turned on. It's...
You can hear him okay in your headset?
Can you hear me? I can barely hear myself.
I'm hearing him fine in my headphones.
Okay, well, I hear you, you know, real good, and I hear Don Shaw real good, but not him.
He's always something, isn't it?
Always.
Always. I mean, always something. Let me see.
Now, look, I've kept these headphones for a long time.
He has. Now, he's better.
Anyway,
now.
We can tell what he's saying. I mean, you can hear him.
Yeah, that's all we need is just
better,
to be able to hear
him. That's all that matters.
Is it raining in Burke yet?
No, but I'll tell you what. If it doesn't rain, I'll be the most fooled person in the world.
Because it sure looks like it.
It's cloudy all day long, everywhere.
It looks like it. It's cloudy up here. It rained. We got, maybe a teacup full while the guy had my air. My electric bill was astronomical.
I bet it was tough, wasn't it?
It was. You're not going to believe.
Yeah.
My electric bill was, and so I decided that something had to be done. So I had my coil cleaned. Have you ever had your coil cleaned? That's like polling the audience. It's kind of painful, but, you know, what the hell.
You have your clock clean once in a while, but not your coil.
Yes. We've cleaned his coil. But, and these guys had me. It took them all morning, and they were soldering up in the attic. Scared me to death.
Wow.
Because they took the coil out, the coil that the air actually blows across, that holds the coolant.
They took it out of the system?
They took it out of the system and out of the attic and outside and cleaned it.
Man.
Goodness. Believe it or not.
What company did you use? Not Action.
I used Action.
Action, okay.
Yeah, we used Action Service Center. The guys came right out and put. Anyway, they know. I said, do you know what you're doing? Oh, yeah, we've done a lot of these before. But he told me an interesting thing. They took the coolant out of my system, and they put new coolant in there. He said he couldn't reuse that coolant out of your system. I didn't know that. Did you?
Well, I wonder how long you've had that unit. They may have took your Freon out and put the new stuff in.
You think?
I always thought they could recover it and put it back. I
thought it could be recovered and put back in. I didn't realize.
Well, you know, they say the biggest crime going on in Houston right now is stripping the coils out of air conditioners to sell it for copper is sky high.
Yeah.
And they're selling so. Maybe that's what these guys do at night.
Yeah.
I found the problem, and you can hear him a lot better now, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The engineer found the problem. I see what the deal was.
Yeah.
Anyway, stripping the coil. They took my coil out of the yard and put this... put this stuff that you put in. They said it looks real shiny, Mr. Parr, and put it back in. So we'll see. But man,
is it a fair question to ask you what this little operation set you back?
It's a fair question, but I don't know.
You haven't got the bill.
No, I haven't got the bill yet. I have no idea what it's. But
I'm wondering. I know about what your electric bills normally run.
Yeah.
And you were going on so much about it. How high was it?
I'm on average billing, okay?
Oh, okay.
And so what we paid was $400 and something. The bill was down to $800.
Wow.
Mighty.
That's what he said.
He used those very...
out of my mobile phone.
those very words.
Yeah, those very words came from my lips. True words never came through falser teeth. I couldn't believe it.
Man.
Of course, that average billing, in the winter it'll be $131, and so we'll pay the average, and everything will work out. But... man, I couldn't. It was astronomical. So we, of course, I told you that my timer on the pool pump went out. So I've been running the pool pump 24 hours a day, and I really didn't think that much about it. But boy, I do now. We got alarms. We got alarms set and everything.
That sucker's back down to 8 hours a day.
Right? You bet. Yeah. Back down to 8 hours a day. Like I told him, it could save a lot of money. This house when we built it, she wouldn't have put any light switches in it, because she's never cut a light off in her life.
Yeah,
that went over real good. We're not speaking, but. But anyway, it's lots of fun. So anyway, they cleaned the coil and they cleaned my unit outside, which helped. Which helped. I mean, cleaned the actual compressor.
And when you get the bill, that will be the final cleaning. They will clean you out.
They will. Yeah, the bill will be tough.
Clean your clock there.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to try to take some phone calls after a while, but we could read an email or two if you like, sir. If you got.
Okay. Yeah, we have one here. Here's a guy that says, "Hi, my wife and I have a standalone shower in one bathroom and a tub in the other bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
What is good for cleaning soap scum off fiberglass tubs and shower stalls?
Man.
Anybody know?
I don't know, but I saw he got lots of answers.
He did.
What, anybody want to hazard?
I don't know a brand name, but I will say this. Our showers have always kind of looked spotless, and Emily sprays something. She doesn't wipe it off. She just sprays almost every time she showers. Then she comes back and she leaves the shower door open. After she's finished, and she
this
sprays
may be more
with
information
a,
than we need.
No, and she sprays it with this. It's like I don't know if it's like Formula 409 or something like that. But then it just cleans the walls stay clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll ask her.
Kind of a self cleaning type.
We could ask her when she gets here what it is. Reckon.
Well, and then you leave the door open so the moisture will.
Yeah.
Evaporate quicker as opposed to closing back the glass. If you have a glass,
that makes sense.
That's a thought.
Yeah,
that makes a good sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that stuff might be.
What were some of the answers he got on the list?
Well, BAM for showers was one of them.
I've heard of that.
Cleaner wax for cars was another one.
Mm.
Gel gloss, G-E-L gloss. Was another one. And those are the three I listed here.
What is gel gloss?
I have no idea, but...
it's like lion manure. I want some.
Yeah. But that car wax sounds like that would put some kind of a film on it itself. I mean, maybe it would make it resistant.
Yeah, the water would beat up and go.
I guess
and
that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, no kidding.
We have a little off-brand can of just plain old bathroom cleaner.
Yeah.
And it comes out like a shaving cream.
Okay.
And you just kind of spray it on the walls of the shower and then turn your shower on.
What's it called?
It just says bathroom cleaner.
Oh.
Hmm.
It's a cheap off-brand of some kind.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you where she bought it.
Where?
At her favorite store.
Oh, by the way, I don't think she was at Walmart.
Today's Cleta May's birthday.
It is indeed.
Well, that's wonderful. Happy birthday, John.
58 years old.
I don't know
if I should have said that.
Oh, you're supposed to tell that, but...
What a deal.
And he's fixing to retire on top of that.
He's fixing to retire.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, just sort of clear things up. And if it hadn't been for the rain, you were actually coming today, right?
I had my shower, I had my clothes on, and I was ready to come.
There was no question about it. You were going to be here today if it hadn't been for this silly rain.
Ready to ease this way.
All right, go ahead. What else we got?
Oh, okay. It says, "Hi, all. I will soon be taking delivery on a new Amana dishwasher to replace my 26-year-old GE brand. Now, if you had ones that, I won't say that yet, but I will. The old one still works, but the racks are coming apart in pieces. It leaves unused soap powder in the soap dispenser, and it just doesn't clean very well anymore. I thus am looking for advice only on the chore of hooking up the new one. I'm assuming the wiring is simple enough. It's a simple enough deal of shutting off the power, finding where the existing house wires hook up to the old dishwasher, probably inside some sort of little box and disconnecting the wires either by untwisting wire nuts or taking the wires off the screw lugs.
Yep.
So please advise if there's anything unusual about this part. Did he cover everything?
No, just, you know, there'll be a box under the sink somewhere, and you just tie it back on.
Most of the new houses now, like I said, that's 26-year-old one, so you're probably going to just have them wired in a box. But I would, in that place, put a wall plug in.
I would, too.
Your new dishwasher is going to come with a plug.
Chances are.
And so, and I think that's the way they do it. You just,
well, I'll tell you what, if I had a dishwasher, and it was a GE, and it lasted 26 years.
I'd buy another one.
No kidding, man.
That's what I was thinking about.
Really.
And it's just really strange that you should bring up, because I just bought a new one.
However, that Amana anymore is probably made by GE. I mean, I don't think there, there's one or two
manufacturers
that make all of them.
We'd like advice from Max Robinson as to who actually makes Amana dishwashers, because I'll tell you one thing.
He would know.
He'll absolutely know.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
why
this guy's main question is about hooking up the water source.
From
the kitchen sink is a metal line going through the sidewall to the dishwasher enclosure.
Yep.
Will that metal line go all the way to where it hooks up to the old dishwasher, or will it convert at some point to a flexible line?
Nope.
I'm trying to figure out what sort of parts, if any, I should have ready to go so that I can just hook up the new unit without having to stop and spend a half-hour round trip to the hardware store.
I'd go to the hardware store and buy a flexible hose before the dishwasher got there.
I would, too.
May have one on it, though. What do you think, guys?
I doubt it. Unless anything is extra. I think it's probably just going to come with a cord and you know, that pigtail-like thing. Or I guess the cord's already on them, Don, or do you have to even attach that to the dishwasher?
On our last one, and I don't know if it feels, I guess it's newer than ours, but on ours, I think it did not have it. It didn't have the cord with it, I think. Everything was extra.
I didn't hook this one up.
I would just get a flexible hose and see when you got your new dishwasher and don't use it. And if you don't use it, your hardware store would probably take it back. But I'd have that on hand.
I'd get a flexible hose because that's going to be an old metal pipe, and it's going to be it's either metal. It's probably copper. And when you bend it, I guarantee you it's going to crack, and you'll never. Man, seating those old copper pipes was terrible. And I had at one time I had a copper or several copper benders look like a door spring. You ever see one of those?
And copper, flaring tools.
Yeah, a copper bender. I've got a flaring tool out there right now. That's just useless for flaring the end of copper, and you'd flare and you'd put it on there and hope to God, and I'd go buy a nice new pretty flex hose and put on that dishwasher.
And believe it or not, even though in 26 years a lot hasn't changed, I would imagine your drain going over there, I don't know if you have metal under your sink, but that's probably going to hook right back up to where you have it now.
Yeah, but that can be a plumber's nightmare. All that old drain pipe and all under some of those old sinks.
Assuming because you may not have PVC with 26 years. I mean, they had plastic pipe then. But.
Because if a dishwasher's been there that long, your house has been there that long, and the trap is probably one of those old cast iron traps.
Or metal, real thin.
Like they used to make. Remember they used to make them with a deal at the bottom, right with the curb at the bottom that you could take off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're supposed to be able to clean them out like that. They were, you know. I just buy all new stuff if it was. But I'm going to tell you what. I hate my new dishwasher. Or, you know, you can buy dishwashers from $250 to $800.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I figured, what could be the difference?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So you found out now what the difference.
Wrong soap scum breath. I hate this. It does not get dishes clean as far as I'm concerned. They did tell me about some of this stuff that you've always seen this round thing on your door that you take off. You always wonder what that's for. Do you know? There's some drops you put in there to keep water from beading.
Yeah.
And I put those in, and that helped a little bit, but I just hate it. I mean, I've had it too long now to take it back. But, man, it doesn't do near what. And you can't, the knob is real critical. I mean, you can't, the other one was kind of a nice, easy turning knob. This one kind of, I don't know, it just turns and jerks. You put me a braille place on there, but I just hate it.
This must be the week of the dishwasher. Ours is we've been in the house about two and a half years. And so Emily comes and goes, I don't think the dishwasher's working right. Oh, it's just not cleaning. So I go in there, and the little spindle shower sprayer that goes around and round at the bottom, and I assume that works, but that the water coming into it forces it up a little bit, because in its all in its position when there's no water coming through, it's really kind of almost hitting on the bottom. There's a copper heater thing.
Yeah.
Well, this one somehow got pushed down. I don't see how, unless the dishwasher was just so overloaded, and she has, she wouldn't do that. But anyway, and the spindle was under this copper heater. So, you know, that's the heat, the dry, and it burned it. It burned a groove. It melted the plastic. Well, anyway, and I just took it, you know, got it going, and we're using the dishwasher till I can get another, and it seems to be working fine. But how that got wedged under there, I haven't a clue.
Yeah. Who is the person in your home that loads the dishwasher?
That's
that'd be Emily.
That would be the warden, yes.
She does the dishwasher loading.
Yes, because I like to wash dishes by hand. I hate dishwashers because you have to wash the dishes most of the time before you put them in there. Then
that's
you put them in
I
there,
do.
And you wait an hour and a half, and then you got to take them out, but you got to wait till they kind of dry or they drip all over the place. So I wash them and dry them and put them in the cabinets by hand. That's the way I like to do dishes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I do is I put me a sink full of water, hot water.
Yes, sir.
Some Dawn detergent in there, and I put my plates in there, and then I kind of wash them. Uh-huh. Put them in the dishwasher with the soap on them.
Right.
Then I do the rinse and hold thing.
Well, that works.
Oh, yeah.
That would work.
Yeah,
that
would.
I just take mine and wash them and rinse them and then put a towel down and put them over there and dry them, and I have them up in the cabinet, and I don't have to unload the dishwasher.
Long before the dishwasher's ever done anything.
Right. It takes I can't figure it out why the dishwasher takes an hour and a half or 2 hours.
It runs on 220, so it costs you. Maybe that's why my electric bill. We talk about that.
Yeah.
Is it 220? I think they're 110.
The dishwasher? Are they just 110?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I may run it twice a week then.
Power to spare, huh?
Power to spare, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right, Tommy.
You ready for another one here?
Well, let's see, what time is it? It's
we're coming up on about break time.
Yeah?
Not
enough time. I guess we better go.
We'll do it next time.
Let you go and get to, you going to turn us on?
Yes, sir.
FTP radio, you can do that. Right?
Are you coming?
I'm going to push the button just as soon as I hang up.
Live for our live audience, would you like to commit now? Are you coming next week, Mr. Houston?
I'm going
to
try to.
So we had 18 people listening a while ago, and they looked in the locator from it. 18 people listening, and then we were down to 17 pets. I guess Houston dropped off.
Went away.
And quit listening to us. You know,
no, yeah. I've got it running right now, but
I've
got the sound off.
I'm going to unlatch you and let you go and call our guest, who is, oddly enough, Dan Rossi. That's the only guest we ever have.
He's been the guest of the day.
Don didn't know that I was using that little clip from Dan, and I didn't know that he was having Dan as a guest. So we're having...
Stay tuned to the Dan Rossi show.
Dan Rossi show.
Call him on the other number, and we may take a phone call or two. Thanks, sir.
See you, guys.
We'll talk with you. Bye-bye. All right. We'll, let me undo him. We'll do more of this little Blind Andy Man show here in just a minute. With our guest is going to be a fellow from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that you've met already if you've been listening all day. His name is Dan Rossi. Hang on. Be right back.
Gathered, we have a live audience today.
We have folks from, I guess, from all over the nation. A lot of folks from in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this is November 2006.
We're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. enough of that. Oh, I see where I was. I was listening to the wrong stream there. I was yelling and screaming and listening to absolutely the wrong thing. Couldn't figure out what the heck I had done wrong. So
yeah.
I knew something. That something had happened. Dan Rossi is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself, Phil?
Do you're not listening on FTP today? You're not.
No, I was just about to log on, but I figured you'd call and we'd cover it from there.
Well, we really need your support over there.
We do need you,
Dan.
Yeah, we're down to
person there.
I think we're down to 10 people. It's really hurting my feelings. We're doing, but I've been on vacation and I didn't have Jennifer Thomas, who originated For the People, as our first guest, and we did about 39 minutes. So I needed 15 minutes, so I ran our interview that we did about your dating, about your location of Teresa on the dating service.
Yeah.
And then come to find out here, Don Shaw has you.
That's right.
So it's the Dan Rossi
day. Dan Rossi show day.
They're going to think you're the only guy we know.
Well, they'll just be sick of me, and I'll start getting nasty grams.
You think so? Yeah, well, that wouldn't hurt anything.
All those emails.
Wouldn't hurt a thing. So I saw this great post this morning. Have you rented the jackhammer yet?
Well, I've borrowed Teresa's brother has essentially an electric jackhammer. It's a demolition drill.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but probably in the next day or two.
Oh.
So this thing I'm hoping should chew up some concrete block pretty quickly.
Oh, man, it ought to.
What does her brother do that he would need a piece of
he's a contractor. He has even offered to loan me some really nice other tools, like a rather large sliding compound miter saw. So,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so it's good to marry into people who do this kind of thing. Her one brother is a contractor. One brother is a mechanic.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a deal.
So what kind
and
of...
And all I got was lawyers.
Yeah. So what kind of brick or block are you wanting to chew up?
So it's all part of the big deck project. But, of course, before I can even get started on the deck project, I had to do other projects. And,
right.
And this one, namely, is moving the dryer vent. Because the dryer vent goes through right where my ledger board for the deck is going to have to go.
Okay.
In other words, where the one side of the deck is going to be held up.
Exactly, where it attaches to the house.
And yeah. So you have so you're going to knock a hole through some bricks to reroute that vent.
Well, so it was going through brick, but now I have to lower it down so it's actually passing through the foundation wall, which is blocked.
Yeah.
And I. The outside, it looks like it's molded block, so the outside kind of looks like stone. You know, it's just kind of lumpy,
right,
and irregularly shaped. And the inside is flat. The inside of the basement wall is flat. But I assumed it would be hollow core block, you know, like three, four.
No.
Apparently not.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, I'm glad he loaned you that tool, and I don't know how big or what it is, but I bought a little set, and Phil, I think, has the same set of little air wrenches. We have a yearly or biannual tool show that comes through town,
uh-huh.
And the whole set costs $59. So that ought to tell you how what quality they are. But in there is a pneumatic air wrench that I've had for 2.5 or 3 years. I changed my tires with it.
Uh-huh.
And also there is a little air hammer.
Okay.
And I put a little chisel bit in that, and I drilled some pretty severe holes in a concrete slab with it at no effort.
Really?
And so I'm saying if you ever wanted that tool of your own, if you've got a compressor,
yeah.
You know, anyway, this little tool, it's a pointed chisel you put on, and it would probably do the job.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Because I started at this with... you know, just a hammer drill,
right?
And I marked off the circle where I was going to put this 4-inch diameter hole, and I figured I'd drill out a couple of holes out around the perimeter, and
right?
Start chiseling away. Well,
and then chisel some out.
Yeah.
Well,
it turns out, you know, I put a regular, what is it, 3.5 or 4-inch, 1/2-inch diameter bit on
right.
my drill, and I plunge it in. And, you know, I figured I'd hit a void, but no. So I put on the 10-inch bit, and I go all the way after like 1/2 hour of drilling and waiting
wow.
for the bit to cool down and drilling some more. I went all the way to the chuck of the drill and still hadn't gotten through the wall.
Mercy.
Like 12 inches thick.
So this is with the great big long masonry bit.
Yeah. Huge bit. And so I then, you know, drilled like holes at the 9 and 3 o'clock position and still nothing.
That is unreal.
Then I went at it with, you know, a sledge and chisel. And I'll tell you what, that's slow going.
Okay, Dan, let's think about this. Let's consider. Let's just think about this. Is there no other way to get to some wood wall or sheetrock or something?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I've been thinking because since the deck wraps around the house, the dryer is just in it's in that corner where the deck is wrapping around the house. So I'd have to go like.
Oh, a long way.
Yeah, about 10 feet to one side or 14 feet to the other.
And you want this?
Side.
You want this thing to come out in the under the deck?
Right.
Okay. All right. What if you just put a bag over the end of it and
hope for the best?
I just talked to a friend who said, you know what? I just kind of point it into a bucket of water and throw a towel over the top of it, and it does fine.
I'm not sure the guy doesn't have something there.
Yeah, but it would sure heat up and moisturize the little room that it's in.
It'd be tough on the basement.
Yeah, the basement would be sticky and nasty, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be at least rather humid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, well, it would be, but in the wintertime, you know.
That's true. I'm not gonna waste too much more time on this. I mean, I've got this this big ass demolition drill now, and I'll give that a shot. And if it gives me too much trouble, okay.
If you wrote up some kind of written proposal with your intellect, you could probably convince your wife that the dryer would look good on the deck.
The outside dryer would be.
Let me ask you this.
Twist.
Now, is this is a solid? Is this wall in blocks like 8-10 like 12 by 12 blocks?
Yeah, they look like they're about 12 by 12 blocks.
Okay, the mortar's going to be a lot softer than the concrete.
Yes, it is.
Have you thought about just taking the block out?
I vaguely did. But I was a little nervous about taking a whole block out of my foundation wall. I don't know. I've never. I don't know. That's a big hole in the wall.
So let me ask you this:
it would be supporting, wouldn't it?
A basement is on one side. That's where the dryer is.
Right.
And then so you're outside at ground level, and how many blocks high are you?
Well, see, most of my basement is actually. Not submerged.
I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
It's actually about at that end of the house. It's only about 3 feet of the basement is submerged, and
right.
5.5 feet is exposed.
Okay, so you have 5.5 feet of these blocks.
Yeah. My goodness.
Man.
All right, let me just jump right in here. I don't know if anybody will or not, but if you wanted to join in this conversation. And you had an idea for Dan as to how to get through this concrete wall. You could be the first to call the Blind Handyman Show live on FTP Radio. The number is 936-634-9500. 936-634-9500. We'll take
the 10th caller.
We'll take the...
yeah.
Take the 10th caller, yeah.
Problem actually showed up on the Blind Handyman list a while back, and one of the other guys, Victor Gouvier, had pretty much the same exact question I did. How do you do this? Because his dryer, he had to either run a really long vent or go through the wall, and I think he ended up renting or found out he could rent a big demolition hammer with a core bit on it to bore a 4-inch diameter hole.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to see if I could rent a core bit.
So you haven't played with this drill of your brother-in-law's?
No, not yet. But I can't wait.
Oh, man, imagine. I mean, that'll be great fun.
The phones are ringing off the wall.
Yeah, they really are. Really are. Well, it's a little, probably couldn't get in. Let's make sure they work here. Let's check it.
Yeah. Sounds like a dial tone to me.
Caller deficit situation. But here's the thing. Tell us about the deck. The deck is going to be made of redwood or what?
Well, the joists and posts are probably, they're going to be pressure treated southern pine basic stuff. And then I have not decided on the decking material yet. I'm leaning toward redwood. I definitely don't want to use southern pine as the decking material, and I've looked at composites and and I'm just not buying it. I mean, they feel like plastic
and expensive.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, so expensive. Yeah.
I don't know. I
they make a treated deck board. You know that is real wood.
That's what I'd use. That's what I'd use.
I don't know if y'all are gonna go for us. You know, color
aesthetics.
Scheme, I think it would be hard to stain and make, I'm not sure, but I have a friend down the street from me who actually built a privacy fence, and he used deck boards. He said, I know it was more expensive, but I wanted it to last. He did metal. He's a welder, so he did metal posts and put up a 6-foot privacy fence using deck.
And Lowe's or Home Depot will have these. They're called deck boards, and they...
Yep.
They may only come in 12-foot lengths.
Right, right.
I think, my original deck was cedar. The original deck that we...
How did that hold up? Because I've been thinking about cedar.
It did not last. It didn't last as long as I thought it ought to.
Yeah.
We've already replaced the stuff that got wet. Of course, the stuff that's undercover, we have replaced.
That was several years ago that y'all replaced.
Well, we replaced that in...
You and George.
'04.
So y'all had been here.
It lasted about 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years. Cedar lasted about 12 years. Okay. I think those deck boards would outlast that, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was worried about cedar because it doesn't seem like a really terribly hard wood.
Oh no, it's not.
How it would weather.
It's very very soft.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. My uncle is whittling out. Can't I guess not? But it's off. It's really soft wood, and I don't know. That's what she wanted. But that's
well,
we've
it's
done
to be
it.
Very pretty. I think it's very white.
Is it?
That's what I've heard.
I don't know. Well, there's a dozen different things a guy could use.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Right now I got to get the ledger board up, and I have to get the post holes dug. And then I've got to fill the post holes, and I'm not looking forward to dragging up 80-pound bags of concrete up all those steps.
Yeah, that should be fun.
I'd build some sort of pulley system.
I'm actually going to try calling a cement company and see just how much it would cost to get a pumper.
Just pump it back there.
Yeah, because it's a long way from anywhere. But
now you're going to attach a 2x8 or a 4x12 or what are you going to attach to the house?
So it got a little complicated. I originally just planned on attaching a 2x10 right to the side of the house and hang the joist hangers off that. But if I do that, the deck is exactly level with the floor of the house. And although some people think that's fine, other people say you're asking for some bit of trouble because then you basically have snow and stuff piling up against your door.
Oh, I thought of that.
Yeah, and rain and water.
Yeah.
Everybody recommends kind of a small step, 3 or 4 inch step from the house to the deck.
Uh-huh.
In order to do that, I'm going to have to do a little different because my foundation wall sticks out from the brick, from the actual house wall. So to put a step down, I have to put like a 2x6 with a 2x10 on that and bolt through both of them into the house, just so that I can have the 2x10 hang down enough. To move it out away from the wall enough so that it hangs down in front of the stonework of the foundation.
Because you don't want to see that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You don't want to see that stonework.
What position is this 2x6 in? I kind of got lost.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty hard to explain.
Is it going to be laying flat?
It'll be flat, right?
It's flat against the bricks right above the stonework.
Okay.
I got your point.
It's basically sitting on the ledge of the stone.
On the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll attach your 2x10 to that.
Right. So that it, the 2x10 will actually hang, you know, 4 inches below. You know, the top edge of it will be level with the top of the 2x10.
I got you.
And the bottom of it will be 4 inches below it in front of the stonework.
So you needed masonry bits anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to need a bunch of them.
You needed masonry bits, and you need to use those. Sleeves, little lead sleeves that you use. You're going to use that, or there's another way to do it, Pat. You use something else, didn't you?
Donald. Well, I would. The sleeves to fasten. It's your 2x6. You're going to have to fasten to the concrete, right?
Yeah.
And then the 2x10 to the wall.
I'm probably going to drill right through the brick, through the band board of the house, and bolt them on the inside.
I tell you though, I would do that because I saw our good friend Robert Todd, who built Emily a deck over there on that, and he used a stud gun and shot studs into her concrete foundation and hung a 2x12. On them, and you know, put them about every 24-inch centers or something.
Did it drop loose?
Huh?
Did it drop loose?
No. I mean, that deck is still there. He just shot big. You can get a pretty good stud gun.
Oh yeah.
And shoot concrete. I mean, you know, rather than drilling. Well, I've used them both ways. Now, when I put up stuff, I've used anchors in concrete that you tap in holes and they flare out. But now that's for holding up a wall, you know, a base. You wouldn't use them horizontally.
He's checking his phone again, you know, to make sure that.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't work for that project.
Yeah.
But a stud gun, it might save you a lot of drilling.
It will. One of my big things that I'm having to deal with, I found out, is working with the city and the building
codes.
If I could have done a lot, you know, gotten away with a lot of stuff if I had an architect sign off on the on the design and used a contractor. But since I'm doing everything myself, it's my own design, I'm doing all the work myself, then they enforce all these other guidelines.
And they can't stop you from doing it, but they can hassle the hell out of
you. Oh, yeah. They can show up and make you tear it all down.
This guy, when we built this building, I didn't use a contractor. I was a contractor, and the subs didn't like that. And the concrete man came out and built the forms, and I swear the inspector had been out there already. He walked right to the form, stuck his hand down there and said, I gotta tear these forms out. This stump's got to be removed. And he knew that was there for the built forms.
Oh,
he knew that, you know. He was just being a jerk.
Yep.
Which they can do. So, but Dan, you don't have a compressor, do you?
I do not. But, you know, seeing as this deck project is really opening lots of opportunities.
You have got to have a compressor. It's going to take you a long... The compressor would run the stud gun.
Right.
The compressor would run the framing gun that you're going to rent I'll ship mine to you and you can keep it a couple of weeks. It's going to be a long time nailing those boards down.
Yeah,
I assume there is a pneumatic stud gun, but actually the ones I've seen use a bullet, a 22.
Oh, those.
Bullet. Bullet and I mean, it's just for to fire that boat.
Use like a 22 blank in there.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And
I've never seen one.
Oh man, it'll set a nice boat. that would save a lot of drilling.
Yes, it would.
Well,
you guys know anything about the...
Let's check this phone again.
it must be broken.
Calls are rolling in.
Something wrong.
Or either their braille notes weren't working and they just didn't get that number down.
It's our first day. Let me give that number. It'll be 936-634-9500. Like to
do we have a prize or something for the person?
We don't have giveaway.
We're not giving away anything.
Phil Parr's album is latest.
We're not doing it. We're not giving anything away.
Man, hell of a thing.
Of course, it's our first day. You've got to realize it. So we're the first stumbling along first day.
What can you guys tell me about? I got a mortar in two bricks from where my dryer vent had gone, and I chiseled out the pieces of brick that were there. So now I've got a square hole that exactly fits two bricks and some mortar.
They make a mortar in a caulking like tube.
Okay.
Brick mortar. You just cut make you a fairly big opening and Now, I don't know how, you know, because the wall is already there, so you would kind of be putting these back just for looks.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
You know, so you wouldn't have to put it all over the brick like a brick man does, but you'd have to get enough on there to keep them separated.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway,
well,
they do make...
Well, you'd have to get enough on the bottom to hold the brick up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I could lay in the bottom core, you know, the bottom is pretty easy. I lay that in, I can trowel up the one side and slide a brick in there
but
pretty easy.
Getting
the second one in.
They do make... Well, you might some tongs or, you know, and put it, like, you could get you some little spacers like a tile setter uses, little plastic spacers, and set that brick up on there. You know, I'd put my bricks in first. I would get both bricks in before I try to put it in, and then I would squirt the mortar in with the...
Boy, if you had the little tile spacers, you could put them in because it's just for
looks. You could just set the bricks up on those and really even not take
them. It's just for show. I mean, you just... And then you just... Don't they make a little tool? The guy doesn't do that with his finger, does he? I mean, they make a little tool that goes...
I've seen some really, you know, narrow, like, pointing trowels and stuff. So
you can shoot this in with a caulking gun.
Okay. Well, work with me. I need to get some trowels. And
then you can't shoot this in with a caulking gun.
There you go. Okay.
I think they make pneumatic trowels.
Pneumatic trowels. So you need an air compressor.
You need an air... And air compressors are cheap these days.
Yeah,
you
I can, think you're right. I think I am going to...
You can buy an air compressor that'll run any nail gun. Just, I mean, if you're using 4 or 5 guys trying to run a nail gun off of it, it wouldn't work. But it'll run one nail gun for, what, $100?
$149 at Lowe's. On wheels, nice. Oilless. Because I bought one at the tool show, and I got stung on that. It was $75, but it turned out you had to put oil in it.
That'd be a hassle.
And it finally, the pressure control crapped out, and I got afraid of it. So I gave it to my least favorite son-in-law. And...
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
So Daniel's enjoying it?
He said he knew somebody that could fix it, and I certainly hope so.
I never forget the first time John and I bought this compressor in 97, and we didn't know anything about air compressors. We never knew anyone that's ever been around one. And what you do first is you turn it on and let it blow itself out. And would you turn it on and leave it on about 5 minutes and let it blow all the little metal flakes out. And then you turn it off, close the... You know, set the regulator and turn it on, and it ran about 5 minutes. And John said, "Let's go out front and smoke a cigarette. Get away from this damn thing." I know. So we thought, you know, it may blow.
Yeah,
because they're scary. They're loud. And you know,
the one that I gave away would not cut off. It wouldn't turn itself off.
Oh, geez.
But it never did.
Yeah,
but the gauge indicated that it never got kind of up to pressure, but I kept saying, I've got my doubts about
this. You know,
once they're waiting to happen.
But my little Lowe's one will drive, really, one and a half air guns. I think the roofers use two.
Well, you've got my framing gun.
And
it runs that.
Oh, it's just like a champ.
I will definitely be looking into that.
You can slap about 5 nails with that framing gun, then it cuts back on,
and it's little, it'll come. Well, say 6 or 8, and it's a little tank sits horizontally. Let's see, vertical's up and down. Yeah, horizontally, and the little wheels are on each end of that. Yeah. So you have a little dolly behind it, and you just tilt it and pull it. Go a little rubber wheel, you know, and it goes anywhere.
Yeah, mine has a little handle on the front that's about right height. If you're walking along, you can just pull it behind you. You know, airing up tires. Running framing guns, running nail. You got to have it.
I use mine at least once a week when I'm even carpentering. You know, I do like airing my tractor tires. I have two sets of tires. So.
Listen, FTP's going to run this show again Saturday morning. So you might just for fun just kind of turn it on in the background, let Teresa be kind of listening.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, what do you think? Good idea?
Yeah, I'll pass you our email. You should start sending your advertisements for...
tool advertisements?
Listen, it's been the Dan Rossi afternoon, isn't it? We had you on. But anyway, all the things you do, they're still working late at Carnegie Mellon and keeping their computers up and running. And
that's the whole plan.
Keeping them straight, are you?
Yeah.
Well, the plan. All right, sir. We thank you very much.
Hey, you bet.
And good luck with your deck. And we're going to give you 6 months or so. When you get it built, we'll kind of check in with you and see how it went. All right?
That sounds great.
Pneumatic trial.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel.
Take it easy, guys.
Talk with you later.
Bye.
Dan Rossi, Carnegie Mellon University, one of our very favorite people. He's on the blind handyman list.
Yeah.
And contributes on the blind handyman list, on the blind like me list, and also a member over at FTP.
All right.
He's all over the place. And fixing to get married in September. Gonna going to take the big plunge. Anyway, we'll be back with more talk about Don's little project he's got going in just a minute. More on the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. By the way, we're not taking phone calls. We're not going to look into no more.
Even if you're the 10th caller.
Phone calls.
Even
if you're the 10th caller, forget it. That's it. It is loaded. Beautiful pot from a hole in the hall. Burning it up. Burning it down. Burning it so hot.
You might have gathered we have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation. A lot of folks from in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this is November 2006. We're going to do it again. We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. First one's always the hardest, and thanks, sir. Appreciate you help, and I do. We are gathered around. Tom Houston didn't make it today because of the rain, but normally he would be here, and he says he will. Swears he will next week. Surely he's not quitting, is he? That's a good thing.
Next week.
I don't know. His contract's up for a renewal in August.
Contract's up. Never know. Check those phones again. But anyway, how's the pavilion? Don, if those of you who haven't listened before, Don has built, you and Emily built a house, 3 years ago?
We've been in 2.5 years.
2.5 years
3 years this coming February.
And you decided that wasn't really enough, so you've now built a garage yourself.
All right, I had one garage built by the builder, so we actually had two-car garages.
Uh-huh.
And then I built a two-car garage behind that one attached to it, common wall.
Yeah.
And then I built a swimming pool pavilion that is not completed, and a dog kennel, i.e. little barn for my tractor and my little farm implements, mm-hmm. Bush hog and rake, and which is not completed.
And most of this you built yourself?
Most of it I built myself. The stuff that obviously that I didn't want to do or couldn't do, concrete slabs.
I had some
iron work done. I am not a welder, can't weld. But most of it I have actually, all of the carpentry, save putting on the shingles.
Yeah.
I hired a roofer, the guy that did our house, and I'm fixing to hire like a bricklayer. I am not a brick mason. I have never done it. Wouldn't care to do it.
Well, we might have some new folks who are listening, and you actually would be considered high partial.
I 20 over 200 with best correction. That's for Social Security.
Yeah, that's right.
And, that's really, it actually has declined. I always wondered if a partially sighted or partially blind, whichever you want to put it, guy, when he got old, Did he get go blinder because
partially,
of old age?
Oh, I think that's possible.
And so actually, I'm not as sharp visually as I used to be.
You think partially blinder?
Yeah, I have trouble seeing like down outside of my glasses area. Yeah. I just run into things with my head. I turn and I'm closer to something. But yes, a good partial, and. You know, I've been around carpenters, uncles that were good carpenters. They didn't do it for a living, but I had one uncle that is a long time dead now, but he built probably every house he lived in. And I was kind of his favorite, and so he showed me a lot, and I just picked it up. I guess just maybe had a little knack for it.
Don, your level of vision is much decreased from that. You see some.
Yeah, just some. I'm probably about like 20 over 400, which is just, I mean, it's okay like for walking around and riding the scooter a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, comparatively, it's got, what, half probably.
And no depth. My biggest thing, you know, cataract-wise at birth, the way they took them off and didn't put the lens in, and I have no depth perception. I have more trouble with stairs, especially if they are like a different... when I went to Sam Houston State University, they had sidewalks. It's on hills. And then it has stairs going down everywhere. You know, two steps to get to this level, three steps over here.
Yeah.
And they bricked the stairs rather than concrete. So when you came, you would see the brick. But then the problem is they bricked the top layer, and then they bricked the bottom out that weren't stairs. And so I never could tell exactly where the stairs
were.
I had to be real careful.
Yeah.
Which brings up the fact that you were getting around, and your everyday day-to-day operation is dependent on your vision, whereas mine's not.
Right. Just where mine is. Yeah, because I'm not a cane traveler or a dog.
And I'm in somewhere in the middle. Mine's both.
Yeah.
Some blindness
you're
and
kind of
some
both.
Vision.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of
Sometimes I'll hand, it's really strange with Don Sharker. Sometimes I'll hand you something, and you'll just reach out when it's 10 inches, a foot from you, and take it. And sometimes it's in your hand before.
Yeah.
So, you know, you must see better at times than others, or better with different light and stuff.
Yeah.
But a funny story on my building. The Twinsers, I call them, are two grandsons they're not my biological grandchildren, but I've known them since they were three.
Yeah.
And so they just think Mr. Don is it. When they want to stay home sick from school, they want to come to Mr. Don's, because as soon as the car goes around the corner, they can we go play?
They're home free, aren't they?
And so, anyway, but one of them, Noah and Jackson are the twins, but Noah got Mama off to the side out at the swimming pool, and he said, Mama, don't let Wilson thinks Mr. Don's going to start building something else. Don't let him build anything else, Mama, till he finishes these. The work had kind of stopped. See, the small children don't understand when the funds dry up. I sort of had a little cash flow problem. Now I am flush with cash. And the brick man cometh, the bricks cometh, and the
ready
plumber and electrician come.
What'd you do? So. Stock market?
No, we just we had a little cash kind of own loan that came back.
Okay.
And I mean, we had it tied up.
Those kids will do that to you.
Yeah, and so anyway, we have it now. I have the funds and all
good
of it.
Right.
The major players, and as I was telling Phil, I am on a crash course to try to be 90% complete by September, because nobody wants to retire from the construction game more than I do.
Yeah.
I want to drink brewski and play the accordion.
You've had a long haul.
Since we've lived there, just about.
Well, you keep starting stuff. You keep.
Well,
you keep,
then on top of the other stuff that you had to do, like putting in the yard, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, see, we seeded. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and then the dogs have torn the yard up, and so
and the droughts every summer haven't helped any.
We lost a sweet gum tree here due to water, if you can believe it. The way I had a drainage problem, and I thought you couldn't kill those suckers. They're the only trees we have, so we're even losing those. Pine beetles have our pine trees. We have a big, I bet that tree is 60 feet tall that needs to come down from the... Yeah.
I'm losing pine trees to pine beetles as quick as I can. I mean, you know, they say that you're going to lose 50% of your timber. Let's see, how does it go? You're going to lose 15% of your timber every year, no matter what you do.
I think so.
And so I think that's probably true. Well, we've done our...
To me.
By the way, we're not taking phone calls anymore.
Yeah, no need to call
no
in.
No more calls. You missed
call
your chance.
Let me check these lines. You make sure that one's working. Let's see, check this one. They're both working.
And,
both lines rolling.
Well, this is our first day. You got to remember it. First day.
First show out live.
First show out. First time live on FTP Radio, and of course we're still on ACB Radio on weekends and on radio reading services throughout this great nation of ours. And, I think
give that phone number out again so they can try again next week.
No point. They'll call me. They'll call me in the middle of the night. That's my personal.
All right, that area code.
935-634-9500. Anyway, that's my home number. So
I'll have them calling Emily here in a minute.
We'll give her phone number. Anyway, thank you guys. I appreciate your help. And,
enjoy it with
Donald
me.
Shaw, Don Patterson.
First time live around the world.
Well, that's
around
right. World. Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. You could have called. They could have called from anywhere, couldn't they?
Yeah.
We were down to 10 listeners there one time. I'm really disappointed. Houston probably dropped off.
Probably.
Anyway, thank you all, and we'll see you next time. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw, we're going to go and shut this thing down, and we'll be in the little room. What do they call that room? They call it the FTP Party Animals room. We'll go in and look and see if anybody has any caustic comments in just a few minutes. Thank you much.
Let's do that.
I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.